Brother Roloff had a revival meeting with Brother Clint Sheehan. And Brother Sheehan heard about some of his little oddities he had, and Brother Roloff had plenty of them. Amen. He just loved to come up with anything. And he got up to the airport, and Brother Roloff got off the plane and there in Georgia. And Brother Clint met him, and he said, I want you to give me your word that you won't speak on this subject while you're here in this meeting. And Brother Wolf looked at him and said, Clint, you've been my good friend. Shook his hand, said, I'm catching the next plane out. I ain't giving you my word on nothing. He said, Brother Clint kind of looked down the ground, stumped his toe around a little bit and said, just go ahead and preach. And they did. They really had a great meeting. Well, just some of those men, I was there when this happened, Brother Jack Hiles, in 1955. He got the Baylor Hall. And he came over there, and I was driving Brother Roloff at that time. And he said to Brother Roloff, he said, Brother Lester, Brother Joe Boyd was with him. And he said, I want you to preach at Baylor University, but I don't want you to mention anything about the Southern Baptists. And Brother Roloff said, well, Jackie, he said, I better not preach. And we were just young men then, in our 20s. And so they left, and about 2 hours later, they come back and said, you come on and preach and say anything you want to. And that's just the way he was. You put a bridle on him, he'd leave you, amen. And I believe that's the way God's man ought to be. I believe we ought to give everybody that liberty. Because I preach a lot of heresy, but most people don't pick it up anyway. They're not listening, amen. So you really don't have to. Some people are so afraid, Brother Pete, that somebody's going to corrupt their church. They don't hear one-tenth of what we even say. So how in the world would you corrupt their church, amen? All right, in Nehemiah chapter 6, please. It's a real blessing to be here. I was supposed to be in Houston. I was supposed to be in a revival meeting. I've never been so confused in all my life. This is probably, I started to tell the evangelist last night, this is the first time this ever happened. My wife said, don't lie. I was supposed to have, I had two men preaching for me one time and had to leave right in the middle of the meeting. We have a 30-day meeting every April, and we're in that 30-day meeting now. They're over in Houston preaching tonight. Had some men saved yesterday. I believe it was either 3 or 4 grown men saved. And we really praise God for it. God has opened the door for us in the prisons there in Texas. There's 40,000 men now housed in the Texas penitentiary. And their average age is 24 years old. Average age. And so Houston has built some big halfway houses where these men can come. And I wish y'all to pray about it. One of these houses, not far from our church, has 300 men in there every day. And these young men are waiting to be released. And we pick those young men up. They're not even released from prison yet. And we take them to church every Sunday morning. And so you pray that God would save many of these young men. The Bible says in verse 11, I would read it all, but them big old names there, I can't even pronounce them, and you don't know what they mean. So, but verse 11 in chapter 6, the Bible said, and I said, Nehemiah's talking, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Nehemiah, they'd come there and they told him, they're thinking in verse 10 there, they'd come in there and said, get in here and shut the door and be a little sissy and hide, and somebody might hurt you. Now, if you're scared of getting hurt, get out of the ministry. I guarantee you, you're in the wrong thing. I preached a message here a few years ago on when Thurman Munson was killed. I preached a message on Thurman Munson. And I preached that Thurman Munson was a great ball player because they said he could play hurt better than any man. They said maybe you could break his arm, he'd put in a cast. They said he never missed a game. He played hurt. And if you can't play hurt in the ministry, get out, because you're going to get hurt in this ministry. I believe God sees to it. And when all the devils get through rousing up, and your wife and your sister and your grandma and your grandpa and your in-laws and your outlaws, then God will get all the brethren and stick them on you. But God's going to make sure you get hurt. Make sure of that. God. Amen. Watch what Nee said when they tried him in China. I read this insert that he wrote himself. He said, in China, when they tried me, he said, the Baptists and the Methodists and the Presbyterian were the ones that tried me and convicted me to that prison house. Amen. He got on his knees and prayed, God deliver us from the Western so-called missionary. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 11 said, as I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is that being as I am, would go unto the temple to save his life? The wicked flee when no man pursueth. Nobody's chasing him. He's scared to death. I was that way as a kid. I've always been spooky. Don't come over where I'm staying and sneak in that room and holler, I got you. I've got another book I carry around with me. I'll turn to page 357. And give you all six verses. Amen. Amen. Don't be coming sneaking up and hollering, I got you, you'll have me. I'm just a little bit spooky. I really am, always have been. But when the wicked flee, when no man pursueth, and we're to flee sometimes, the Bible says we're to flee fornication. The Bible says we're to flee idolatry. The Bible said we're to flee evil doctrine. There's some things that God's man ought to just get up and run from. Just run from it. Some of them friends you got, you ought to run from them. Or just run from them. But this man here said, should such a man as I flee, where are you going to run to? What are you really running from? Huh? What are you running at anyway? I mean, what are you running for? Well, we are seeing this everywhere. On the mission field, I was in Mexico just a few days ago, in Europe a few days before that. And as you travel, you see a lot of people running because the work's hard and it's dangerous. A lot of people go to Mexico because there is kind of a spirit of revival there. And I see a lot of preachers come and say, well, I'm going to resign my church and go to Mexico. I can get more saved there in 2 or 3 days and I'll get saved in a lifetime. They get down there and get 100 profession of faith and go through them and got about 1.5 saved and they don't know whether they want to stay or not. Amen. Just do your head like this and the work of God is all wherever you're at. It's hard and it's dangerous. It's a dangerous work. The work of God is dangerous. I want to say tonight there are many pitfalls in the ministry. There's many. And one of the biggest pitfalls is that you might be successful. I've relieved one of my men that's out of my church, a missionary, because he was successful. That's the biggest pitfall in the ministry. Because when you're successful, bless God, you're the smartest human being God ever created. Because you did it. But you're going to give God all the glory. Amen. Amen. For 2 years, we've dealt with a man out of our church that's been successful. I'm going to tell you something. God hates spiritual pride more than he hates anything. It got the devil kicked out of heaven. I don't know where it'll get you kicked to. Amen. But there's many a pitfall, and victory sometimes is a pitfall. We can have 100 saved, and man, you couldn't touch us with a 10-foot pole. We're very humble Christians as long as we've got our head against a grindstone. If you let God open heaven on us. I tell you, Brother Lackey said this one time in my church, and I didn't understand it. We had a revival meeting in our church, and my soul, the skeleton started coming out of the closet, and man, we was up all night for two or three nights dealing with people, and two or three homes like to went all to pieces over what had been going on, and those men, we just had revival. And Brother Lackey said, Brother Jack, I want to just tell you something. Every time you have revival, it's always this way. It's always a lot of heartache when revival comes. And I watch God's men, they get away, they don't want revival. The average church is nowadays praying about revival up here, they don't want revival. Well, if you had revival, there's no telling what you'd love to find out. Ain't no telling what you'd love to find out if you had revival. I mean, if everybody here tonight come clean with God, ain't no telling what we'd find out. Hey, I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's very, very few churches, I know anything about it, could stand revival if we had one. Because if God moved in and the Holy Ghost began to convict and bring men on the burden of sin, begin to confess it and get right with God, my soul, you don't not have nothing left. That's right. Why are we going to quit the work? A lot of people are running. They are running. You just see people running everywhere now. I mean, people running. One man come by my place yesterday, and he said, man, I tell you, Brother Wood, I'm going home, man. He said, I'm just going home. He's a missionary, so I'm going home. He said, man, I'll tell you the truth. He said, the communists moved in, they've moved in, and everybody's moved in, you know. So what? Preach to them. You said you was a fundamentalist, hell, fire, and brimstone. Get after it. Help yourself. Bless God, I'm going to take my stand. Yeah, when you got seven people with a Scofield Bible and a little narrow piece of letter to a convention where you're going. Amen? But you get down there in Mexico, it's another story. Now, why? The work is hard and it's dangerous. And it takes vision for the work of God that others don't have. I said it takes vision that others don't have. And some of God's men are running because they have no vision. I don't know how many people come to Houston 4 or 5 years ago. I could start naming them, some of them, and you'd know them. And I could just name them. They came to Houston, oh boy, this big oil town, USA, and boy, they're going to have a... And I started praying. I said, God, break this thing. Let everybody go broke. Let everybody get $1 an hour. And that thing just started going broke. I read this week where they pushed down 15,000 apartments. They pushed down 15,000 apartments. Right down from my church, about 6 or 8 blocks of my church, there's 1,200 apartments that everybody moved out of them, and they're fixing to push them down. They've been there about 6, 7 years. There's another group of apartments. 5 of my church members, of families, were told to get out. We're going to push them down. You say, why are they pushing them down? Because the taxes are too high, and 60% of them are not renting. I hope they all go broke. Man, we've been having more people saved this year than we've ever had. Oh, I mean, like God send some more drought. Amen. I mean, just turn the hydrant off. Don't let another squirt of oil come out of the ground. That's right. Let every bank in Houston go broke. I've got just as much now as I had then. Nothing. Amen. Bother me a bit in the world. Amen. But I noticed that those preachers that come in there and said, what great opportunities. Do you know how many people are moving in here weekly? And boy, they could give you all the statistics. The GARB and I don't know what that means. Garb, I guess. Garbage or something. Yeah. And they all just moved in there, and then this crash come, and everybody moved out. They all gone. I went over the other day, and man said, I got this 3-bedroom house, been here 6 years, big paved street, swimming pool, big fireplace in it, and got me a new song leader, Brother Bubba Keys, boy, come lead singing for me. I said, you better buy your house now. So he bid $28,000. They said, we'll take it. I ain't talking about something more than Cottage Grove where I was raised. I'm talking about carpet that deep, man, brand new, big fence around it, central air conditioning, $28,000. Man said, well, there's one right down the street. You can buy it for $25,000. Well, man told me the other day, he said, I bought me a big fine home, $21,000. I hope they go down to $1.25 piece. I'm going to get me one. Amen. I don't care. I don't care. I don't bother me a bit in the world. Amen. It just takes a vision. Hey, when I went to Houston, I wasn't looking for an opportunity. I wasn't looking for an opportunity. I don't understand this word opportunity. Oh, I have such a great opportunity. I have such a great field that I'm going, oh, I'll puke on you. Huh? Hey, man, did God burden this man? Nehemiah's brother come over there and told him, Hananiah said, hey, the walls are broke down. And he went over there and started building, and something happened. And God will make sure there's opposition always happens. When opposition came, they said, you better run for your life. This ain't going nowhere. Y'all want to fight? Everybody tell me, said, you started carrying a briefcase? Yeah, I carry my briefcase. Got me a knife that long and a pistol in there and all that stuff. Right in my briefcase. Sure. Got me a briefcase. Everybody ought to have a briefcase. If you live in Houston, you get your two briefcases. Man comes to Nehemiah and said, you need to run. You need to get out of here. He said, such a man as I flee? Well, this is the hour God prepared me for. Brother P.D., it's never happened before in the history of Texas. Never. One of our men went out the other day in Danny Chapel. They went out and talked to the chaplain. And the chaplain said, never before in the history of Texas. And they said, we're going to let you put a man in this prison. You mean y'all going to pay him? We're going to pay. And the first time in the history of Texas, in the Ramsey State Prison, farms got 5,000 men on one farm. And all you got to do is you walk up down. And one of my men, been leading the same mill a long time, and he said, look at this picture here. It's on the Houston paper. He said, that man 6 weeks ago was a Jehovah Witness, and I won that man to God right there in that prison. He's one of the best men of God right there in that prison. I've never seen open doors in my life like this. But they put another one of our boys last Saturday in the county jail of Houston, 4,280 men there every night. The county jail in Houston holds 4,280 men. It's overcrowded every night. Should I run? Because there ain't no money. I didn't go there for the money. Amen. Amen. Who cares? Amen. Who gives a flip? I sit there and just laugh while they sold Johnson stuff. That was so amusing to me. Oh, Big Dog Johnson, yeah? Yeah, they had a knife that Johnson gave, and he wrote on there, I give this to John Connell as a gift. And it brought $1,000. I thought to myself, yeah, they sold it for $1,000, and they'd be selling it again. Not long ago, the guy that bought it would be bankrupt. They're all going broke. Now, it's amusing. The guy that owned the Dallas Cowboys, he went broke. They even sold the napkins that he'd got each one of the football players designed. They sold his napkins for $25. They sold his cigarette case. They sold his cufflinks. They ain't never sold nothing. I wouldn't bring nothing nowhere. Wasn't for Jim Tatum, I'd be in trouble. The work is hard and the work is dangerous. Man said to me, he said, I wouldn't dare go to you. I made a visit Thursday night with my wife. And just as we pulled into this ghetto and pulled back on the back there and got way back in the back, no light there, car eased up outside of me. That guy said, come here. And I reached back out and got that 357. I said, what do you want? You said, ain't you scared? You think I'm scared with 357 in my pocket? Would you shoot him, Brother Jack, right where his suspenders crawl? Yeah. No problem with that at all. Hmm? You said, Brother Jack, it's dangerous down. Who cares? What are you, a sissy? Roll your britches leg up. Let me see what color your drawers are, huh? You scared? Should such a man as we claim to be fundamental Bible believers walk around with a Bible with a sword in our hand? I got a bunch of sissies. Be a man. Works hard. I want to say these big victories that we have, they must be fought for. You're not going to have nothing without a fight. You ain't going to have nothing without a fight. My soul above. You think you're going to have a victory without a fight? Man, I run more old gals, more out of that church. Yeah. They walk around and say, won't you leave? Now, why don't you go with them? You say, I don't believe in that. Well, I know you don't. What do you believe in? The work's dangerous. One guy was bragging here a while back about how many additions he had. That's a sickening word. That sounds like you're adding on to the building. Addition. This guy talking about all the additions he had. That meant some church had had a problem with a bunch of sorry church members, and they run off. And so they'd run off, and he had his big additions. And so when he got all them additions, and he called me, and he said, well, yesterday, day before yesterday, he said, Brother Wood, he said, I'm having some real problems with these people. You know, these new people that come in. He said, they just want to run this church. I said, what did you think they come over that for? The reason they come over there, that hard-headed Hoosier where they come from, wouldn't let them run it. A bunch of them came from my church, and I wouldn't let them run it. Amen? They tried to run me off, and I wouldn't run. I'm going to move out there. We're going to run. And they ain't got sense enough to run nothing but their mouth. That's all they can run. You said, Brother Woodman, you ever had a church split? Continuously. Continuously. I never did have a big one, because you can't have a big one when you're having them continuously. But victories must be fought for. So I take my time. Use a lot of grace about it. Doesn't bother me a bit in the world. I got 5 or 6 good men. I called a family not long ago, and I said, look, y'all been with me 8 years. That's long enough. Honest before God. God's my witness. That man been with me 8 years. I said, that's long enough. You're bothering me. I'm bothering you. I baptized all of your children. I don't want them mad at me. Get out of here. They left. Yeah. Woman come down the aisle a couple weeks ago, and she said, I want to join this church. I said, I don't think we want you. It's as honest as a heart attack. I said, I tell you what you do, honey. You hang around here about 2 more months, you might not even like us. And then if you don't like us, and we don't like you, you can just ease out the door and nobody will know you're gone. You won't even have to move your letter. I won't even have to spend a quarter to get it. He's on out the door. We used to just give invitation. Who wants to come and join? Nowadays you're scared to give invitation. I preached a meeting for Brother Glyle and Odom. And I'm going to say this, and I know exactly how Brother Pete believes about it, but me, I go check everybody's, how much they give. Because if I'm going to ordain a deacon, I don't want to ordain a thief. So I want to know how much he's been given. If some preacher boy comes down the aisle and surrenders to go to the mission field, I don't want to send nobody that ain't never gave a dime to missions. So I check out everybody every Sunday. Guy was playing the piano a while back. He's just playing away. He's playing away. And I walked in and I said, son, do you tithe? He said, yes, sir. I said, when you get $5,000 for getting hurt, do you tithe on that too? He said, it'll be in that Sunday, preacher. I said, okay. We don't need the money. We got money in the bank. But he needs to give it. And he don't need to be a thief. And I'm trying to deliver him from being a thief. God bless you. I said it's hard and dangerous. It's hard and dangerous. But Nehemiah had his opposition. He had his problems. He had everything in the world just like you and I are going to have. And he had his disappointments, his heartache, his discouragement. But he marched on and he said, I'm not no sissy. I ain't going to run. Now, you look at in chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20. If such a man should I flee just because of lies that are told. Some people hear somebody lied on you. Well, so what? Guy wrote me a letter today and said, I don't never want you to ever preach in my church again because you don't believe in Christian education. I have 8 children. My last boy just graduated from a Christian high school. This is his, well, he will graduate next month, right, Danny? He's 18 years old. That's the last one. I've never had a child that went to a public school. You said, how did it turn out? Terrible. But I done what God told me to do. Don't be honest. I'm like Brother Homer Smith. I mean, just be honest. You just take an old hoodlum, an old gangster, an old outlaw, and you get him saved. And just because he's saved 7-8 years, you think everything in his life, he's just going to start producing Christian children. I mean, he's got so much sense. He ain't never done nothing but pop pills, smoke grass, live like the devil. And I mean, boy, he's going to just come in the house with a wonderful ass. Most of us all are just preaching, telling you don't make the same mistakes we did. Amen. That's what we're trying to do. Brother Danny Farley, that married one of my girls, and thank God, he said he got the pick of the litter. That's what he said. But you can't run because of the lies that are told on you. They said here that Jeremiah in chapter 2 said he's going to overthrow the king. He's a rebel. He's a revolutionist. That's what we are. I've seen Earl Ray's picture. I've been praying for Earl. Y'all all know who Earl Ray is? I've been praying for Earl. I pray he'd skate and kill Jackson. I really have. I really have. I've been praying. I prayed today. God deliver him. Amen. Would have been a real blessing to the world if he'd pulled that trigger one more time while he's at it. Amen. But what are we going to do? You said, Brother Wood, what's America going to come to? I don't know. I really don't even care. That's where I'm at right tonight. When you get down to where you can vote for Jackson or Bush, you had it, man. I mean, you have had it. And there's lies being told. And it's Nehemiah, they said, you're going to... They lied on every motive he had, lied on his ministry, lied on his methods, lied about everything he did. What did he do? Just kept on building. Just kept on building. There's some things you just can't run from it. Dr. Mark Cameron told us in class, he said he was pastoring a church and he was just teaching the Bible, and he said he got on over there in 1 Corinthians 6, said, such as some of you were, but you've been delivered, you're whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, what have you. And he said they asked him to resign the church. And he said this lady put on a lot of pressure, and he resigned, and he said he went right to the next church, and he said he thought it was the same lady sitting on the steps, meeting. That's the way it is. When you run from a problem, when you get to the next stop, that same problem be there. You can't run from your problems. You can believe this. I don't care whether you believe or not. It doesn't make me one bit of difference. My whole problem, all my first 20 years I preached, there just wasn't no money. Everybody said, he's been married before. They did not only call on me to preach, son. They didn't even call on me to pray. They've told everything to work. Me and my wife, how old is your wife, Danny? 34. She's 34 years old. And her mother and I have been married 36 years. And they've told everything, anything you could imagine has been told. I laugh about it. It's a big joke. I mean, you know, you take preachers like that, they got to have something to talk about. Let them idiots talk. Who cares? I mean, who cares? Amen? I can't hear them all the way to Houston. If you hadn't told me, I wouldn't even know they said it. Amen? Who cares? I mean, you got a work to do. God's called you. God's laid his hand. Do what God wants you to do. And forget about it. Forget about it. Who cares? You say, I wonder what's going to happen to my testimony. I don't have none. Ah, shit, man. Who cares? Who cares? Every old dope fiend, every old hoodlum in Houston, they believe I'm saved. Why, listen, there was a little old prostitute on the street the other day. She said, she told the jailer, said, why don't you get some of the people from Shady Acres Baptist Church down here? Said, they love us and care about us and pray. Hey, get some of God's men down here. Why, the other day, one of them, they smoked one little girl down and killed her and they burned her and put her in one of them bottles, you know, and asked us if they'd have a 7 o'clock service in the rescue mission just last week. I mean, the building was just full of prostitutes and thieves and pimps and what have you. That's my crowd. I don't like that guy with that three-piece suit. He's got that ministerial look about it. God have mercy. I mean, he walks like a minister. Hey, I told you, remember that? I said, you see that guy coming? He had to be two city blocks away. He's in a hospital. I said, he's a preacher. They said, you know him? I said, no, I don't know him. But I said, he's got a ministerial walk. He's got a ministerial. I said, that's him. That's him. He walked up and got on the elevator with us, and the lady said, are you the pastor of the Tallawood Band? He said, yes, I am. He said, how'd you know that guy? I said, man, you can see him a mile off. Ministerial talk, ministerial walk. Oh, puke. My soul. Hey, this man said, am I going to run because of lies that have been told? Am I going to run because of my critics that are around? They said, why if that wall there, if a little old fox walked across that wall, it'd fall down. Sometimes what I built, it looked like it going to fall down. My soul, I agreed with the devil. I said, you're right. I believe it is going to fall. But see, our endeavors are not ours. It's the Lord's. See, our excitement is in the Lord. And this man said, I'm not going in that temple. I'm not going in God's house and hide. You know, there's a lot of God's people, a lot of God's men hiding in the church. They're bashful and ashamed, scared to death. Who cares? Well, Brother John Thompson, you remember him, used to play the banjo. He went downtown Houston one day and went down, got his permit, and went down there and started to preach. And here come the first, Johnny Bassanio and two other guys. One of them was a Catholic and one of them was an Episcopalian priest. And they came out there and they was having God Love America, you know, Christian America. But they never did mention Christ and they never mentioned the Bible. Talked about God just once or twice. And when it got through, old Brother John Thompson just hopped upon the wall there, about 6 foot high. And had a bullhorn. He had a permit to do it. And he said, God help men who claim to be saved and stand here in front of a heathen world and deny the only Lord Jesus Christ. He began to preach. And an old woman come up there with a cane and said, preacher boy, would you please take your $5 offering and keep preaching? You'll keep doing what God wants you to do. God will make sure you're taken care of. Our critics that are around. And then because of the doubters that are with us. There's a lot of doubters. I've heard people say, well, I believe that deal down in Pensacola is going to fold up. Well, who cares? Let it fold up. Fold it up. I mean, wrap it up. That's what Micah said in chapter 7. Said, wrap it up. Wrap it up. Who cares? They're like a hot tamale. Wrap it up. Who cares? Take that deal and you say, wrap it up. And we'll go fishing. Hey, man, if God don't want to do something, what do we care? Yeah. And if God don't watch the city, what do we care? Yeah. Hey, if God's not going to watch the work, what do we care? Yeah. I guarantee I ain't lost no sleep over nothing. Yeah. It'll take me a half a baby aspirin, I'm sound asleep. Yeah. Mac Ford and Leroy Dalrymple drove all the way to Florida one night going to cheer me up because I had a split. Boy, I tell you, we got to shouting. He said, my God, if this man needs cheering up, he said, I don't know what the rest of the crowd needs. Amen. Amen. Well, who cares? I mean, really. Really. If it wasn't for the God bless it, 45 missionaries out of our church, man, I could care less. Amen. God gets through with us, shut her down. I can't run it no way. Some folks wouldn't know if God was there or wasn't there, so it makes them no difference. There's some doubters with if a little fox goes. They doubt our ability. Well, I'm right along with them. I doubt mine too. Amen. Amen. They doubt that God hears and answers prayer in our day and time. Yes, sir. They doubt it. They doubt Almighty God is able. Nehemiah said, I ain't going to hide nowhere. Told them, boys, one of y'all get a sword and watch what's going on. We fight. God ain't never raised no sissies. Sunday, 200 queers went out there to Second Baptist Church. That's conservative, staunch, fundamental. Bunch of weirdos. Second Baptist Church in Houston had 15 fruitcakes hired to blow the horns. called the union, told them to send them 15 fruitcakes out there. Now out there blowing a horn, one of them's got AIDS, others got tuberculosis, and I don't know what the rest of them had. I seen one of the women going outside crying, had a picture in the paper. She was crying because they fired a queer. So that means she's a queer too. There's but one thing I hate worse than I do a queer, and that's a sympathizer of one. And so Sunday morning, 200 of them, 200 queers, went to the Second Baptist Church, all of them with AIDS, and went into church. That's true. You don't believe it? Just call Dr. Young tonight. He's doing his work there. I built a church for 3,500, and the queers are going to my house. Who cares? Why don't he do what Maddox did? Maddox got him 200 pick handles and passed them out. The governor of state got more sense than a preacher. I want you to notice something, please. In chapter 2, verse 20, this same chapter. Praise God anyhow. Yeah, this service is about over. Then answered I then, said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. You ain't got no right being here. What are you doing here? He said, we're God's men going to build anyway. Yeah, listen, God had imparted faith into those men. They believed God had told them what to do. They had divine directions on how to do it. And God had developed that faith. And that faith reached out and said, God told us what to do. And we're here. He's God's man. He believes God. God's man believes God. You hear me? God's man declares that God is able to do what he said. And God's man does exactly what God wants. And who cares about the rest of it? You say, well, ain't many sinners come. Well, go down where they're at. Guy called last Tuesday and he said, hey, Dan, come on down here. My associate, he went down there and had 150 guys in one time. When I preached 150 sinners one time. Four queers come in here and sit down. And old Brother Dan and them queers stand out on the outside. They said, God didn't write the Bible. And Dan said, there's one thing I know about the Bible. He said, God wrote the Bible. Amen. So that's one thing I know about it. God had to write it. Because see, if God hadn't wrote it, some queer got his hand in there and said, it's been all right to be a queer. But God condemned every queer. Said, tear the house down, run them out of the land. God wrote the Bible. Right. I mean, he wouldn't have smoked them queers. He said, love them. If man wrote it. But God wrote this book. I had that much sense when I was lost. I was in jail one time and I run into a guy and he told me that men wrote the Bible, and it had so many thousand mistakes in it. I got saved right after I got out of jail. I went off to Bible school, and I met this guy's brother. He was teaching in the Bible department. They both acted a little apey. Amen. Let me close here now, please, in Nehemiah chapter 1. Why should a man of God not run, preacher? Because of the burden that God has given him. The Bible said there in verse 2, it says that Hanai, one of my brethren, he came, and he certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left to the captivity of Jerusalem. And he said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity and the providence are in great affliction and reproach, and the walls of Jerusalem is broken down, the gates are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and I mourned certain days. He ain't said a thing in the world about building a building. He ain't said a thing in the world about a ministry he's going to have. He ain't said a thing in the world about nothing except he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And the God of heaven laid a burden on this man's heart. And because of the burden that God gave this man, he began to work and build and do what God wanted done. And the world said, stop! And he said, how can I stop? I got a burden for what I'm doing. Ain't got nothing to do with the oil economy of Houston. Why, four men in my church, four men, I know this happened, there were, but four men in my church in 1 week, somebody burglarized their home, just broke into home and just took the pillowcases. One man took all of his boots, and one of them old boys better be glad didn't catch him. He weighs 320, and I don't know what they're going to do with his coat unless they're going to make a gospel tin out of it, but he wears a 58 coat. Wouldn't you like got caught, an old ex-hoodlum got saved. And wouldn't you like to got caught in his house? He'd just took and broke your neck, then spit in a hole and throwed you out the window. That'd been the end of you. It's a bird. This man had a bird. The Bible said when the wolf cometh, the hireling, he fleeth. The hireling flees. Why? Because he's been hired. I bet they paid him, man. I mean, he just lived from payday to payday. When the pay stops, everybody's supposed to quit. This is a God-called man. Don't make no difference. 86, things come into Houston. Well, Danny was there. In 86, that crunch hit us, and we just bought that new bill. There wasn't no salary for nobody. Nobody on that staff drawed a dime in 86. Preacher leave and catch an airplane. Said, I feel led of God to move back to Tennessee. I feel led of God to just move on and find me a greater opportunity. Ah, puke on you. You say you keep saying that. I mean it. That means puke on him four times. Amen. A man who don't have a burden, he's a hireling. And a hireling don't have any interest in what he's doing. Faithful in the discharges of his duty. Why, preacher? He's a hireling. You listening to me? A man who is a real shepherd, he loveth the sheep, and he lays his life right down there for his sheep. I told an old outlaw, he's dead now. I told an old outlaw, he and I raised together. I said, Claude, sit on the back seat of this chair. He sat right on the back seat of that chair, and he'd look down at the nursery. And they'd went in them nurseries, a couple of them queers hadn't grabbed two or three little babies in the city of Houston. I said, Claude, if anybody come to that church, do whatever you have to do, he said, I'll take care of it. And Claude always was 5 foot eight inches tall, weighed 225 pounds, and there wasn't nothing on him that you could pinch. He got mad one day, Dr. Ruggman. He was out breaking up a sidewalk, and he got mad because his front end loader, Brother Danny, you remember, he just jumped out of his truck mad and throwed his hat down, grabbed the bricks, and loaded them in a truck by hand. Just a man. He said, right in the back of that church. And you started confused. I just said, Claude walked on, tapped on the shoulder, said, the Reverend said, get out of here. You say anybody argue with him? Nobody in Houston fool enough to argue with Claude Pilgrim. No. You see, we wasn't hirelings. And they came into church and confusion started and mass confusion everywhere and big splits and divisions. And looked like all the missionaries were going to have to be called home. Remember one morning me getting up, taking a knife and just cutting all the mission board down, the pictures falling on the floor, and the 10 families decided that they was going to run me off. Now, you ought to ask me to leave. Don't be start trying to run me nowhere. I'm 60 years old, I couldn't do nothing, but I'd do something ugly to you. Something ugly, real ugly. One of these men called me and said, my wife is run off with another man. And I said, what are you crying about? You was there, Danny. You said, not there. I said, let's go down to Western Union and find out where that sucker's at. And let's send her $100 where she can get further away. Hey, man! You're supposed to be a man. You're supposed to be a man. He'll run from nothing. Old boy came up to me and he told me, he said, you know, I started to go with him, people. I said, you did? He said, yeah, old Bobby Cox. That's a man that's going in that prison in a few days.
Them $330,000that man got, it was $330,000 exactly, Dan, when Tom got his leg cut off. When he lost his leg, he got $330,000, and it could totally destroyed that church. And that same bunch that destroyed our church, went over and destroyed that church, 200, all of them moved 200 miles to get away from me. Don't start no fight with me. Amen. I'm not a hireling. I didn't hire on. I got called. Then I got put into the ministry. And I can't go nowhere. All I can do is fight on. And sometimes it just looks as rough as it can be. My wife will look at me and shake her head and say, Jack, you've got to be the craziest old man I ever seen. I don't care. God knows I'm never disappointed. I'm expecting you to do something wrong. I'm never disappointed in people. Nothing would surprise me. Nothing. In other way, I hate surprises. I never get one. I'm expecting anything. Let's pray.